I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the UFC Ultimate Faithful Catholics. My name is Jesse Romero. I'm on duty. My partner, Terry Barber, are you on duty, my friend?
I'm on duty, Jesse, ready and willing and able. And I'm excited about today's show. Well, obviously, Jesse, we have the gospel of the mass today. But, you know, I also wanted to say that the, you know, we talked about it Friday with Father Frank Pavone, that the Trump administration is asking the governors to open up the churches as essential uses. And that's what happened yesterday here in California. And we're going to talk about that because of President Trump pushing our governors to open up the churches. Also, we've got a great article about Bishop Schneider's talk he gave regarding banning the sacraments during this pandemic. And he has some strong words for his brother bishops. Also, Jesse, we're going to talk about California churches closures may be violating religious freedoms. And I agree that that is, obviously. The First Amendment makes it very clear we have a right to worship. But also, what I want to also share with people is some what we call collateral damage that's been caused by the coronavirus. I'm going to give some statistics out that I think will surprise you and make you think, well, wait a minute, what is going on? Why are we doing all this with the people that are having fallout from all this? There's more damage taking place, more loss of life from that than the coronavirus. And so we're going to talk about that and much more. And I think
something interesting as well.
Tell me, brother.
When has it ever become against the law to get sick? Where is it in the Constitution?
Good question.
Or in the Bill of Rights where an American can't get sick? It's Terry, I mean, if somebody has cancer and you go to the
they take care of them.
A lot of people, I know a lot of family members are saying, you know what, I'm old. I'm in my late 80s. Yeah. No, I'm not going to go through chemotherapy.
My mother did that.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that do that. They're saying, no, I'm not going to go through this, or I'm not going to go through dialysis. I'm old, okay?
Yeah.
And so the point is, it's not against the law to be sick. And again, you know, we'll get into all those universal vaccination. That's where that's a huge problem.
Oh, yeah.
This universal vaccination. If somebody wants to be sick, fine. That's the right as an American.
Yep. Yep. Good point, Jesse. Well, let's get to the Gospel of John, today's readings from Gospel John, chapter 17, verse 1 to 11, Jess.
St. Philip Neri, pray for us.
Amen.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. It's verses 1 to 11, today's Gospel. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, this is kind of beautiful. I noticed a lot of very reverent priests, watch them when they do the Eucharistic prayer. They raise their eyes to heaven. Mm-hmm. Okay. You'll notice, watch priests, and you can see the distinction. When they start doing the Eucharistic prayer, I know my former pastor, Father Stephen Guitron, it was beautiful to watch him. He would take his eyes off of the people. He looks straight up to the ceiling, looking at the entire time for 5 minutes. It was, you could just tell how much he believed that this was Jesus coming down. And so it says, Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, so that your sons may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people. That's an important part in the entire life of the Catholic Church, authority, authority, authority.
Exactly.
That's why the Protestants split from the Catholics. They didn't understand authority. That's why a lot of charismatics get in trouble with diabolical retaliation because they're acting like priests. They step out of their authority. Authority is a huge issue in theology and in the spiritual life, goes on to say, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that you should know, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory I had with you before the world began. So if you notice for verses like 1 through 4, you see this complete interrelationship between the first person and second person of the Blessed Trinity. This is why the creeds call the Godhead inseparable, because you just see right now this interrelationship that is distinct, but it's inseparable. And that's where we start looking. That's where we start seeing the evidence for the doctrine of the triune God in John's Gospel 14, 15, 16, and 17. We continue. Our Lord says, the second person of the Godhead says, I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. By the way, what's the name that he revealed to the world? Well, if this cult knocks on your door on Saturday, they're going to tell you he revealed his name as Jehovah. No, it's not. God revealed his Father's name. It's my Father. Pray. He didn't say, when you pray, pray our Jehovah. No. He says, pray like this, our Father. God revealed the first person of the Trinity's name. It's not Jehovah. It's Father. Goes on to say, they belong to you and you gave them to me and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you. Because the words you gave to me, I have given to them. And they accepted them and truly understand that I came from you and they have believed that you sent me. There again, this interrelationship between the first person and second person of the Trinity, which makes me scratch my head because I've talked to this one cult. They're called the Oneness Pentecostals. It's called the Jesus Only Movement. I have family members that have actually branched off into that cult. And we go through the Gospels of John. I said, so you say Jesus is the Father. Yeah, Jesus is the Father and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. No, he's not. That's called the heresy of modalism. I said, then why is Jesus talking to himself? I think he is. That doesn't make sense. Jesus is calling himself Father. Then he comes to the other side. Now he's calling himself Son. That doesn't make sense. The United Pentecostal heresy is a heresy. It's known as the heresy of Sabellianism. They misunderstand the Trinity. They say Jesus is the Father. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is all three. No, he's not. They're all distinct, but they're inseparable within the essence of the Godhead. Goes on to say, our Lord says, I pray for them. This is a key part here. I do not pray for the world. What? I thought Jesus prayed for everybody. Read your Bible. He just says, I don't pray for the world. What does he mean by the world? He means the unbelieving world. The world that's stubborn, that holds to obstinate sin like Pharaoh's heart. The communism, atheism, Islamism, socialism. People that want to build this world utopia without God, they've dismissed God. He doesn't exist. God is dead. That's what Jesus is talking about.
Yep.
He says it right now. I don't pray for the world. Who does he pray for? Because people think, oh, Jesus prays for all of us. You don't know your Bible. He doesn't pray for unbelievers. It's right in here. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the unbelievers in this world. And he says, but for the ones you have given me. The ones you have given me. The church calls those the elect. And you can tell if you're one of the elect. Generally speaking, the first step is you're baptized. Second step, you receive all your sacraments and you're a practicing Catholic. Third step, you want to know if you're part of the elect? Do you pray the daily rosary? Our Lady says you're one of the elect. You're predestined to heaven if you pray the daily rosary. So there are certain things in your life where you can tell if you're part of the elect. It goes on to say, because they are yours and everything of mine is yours and everything of yours is mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world while I am coming to you. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow.
Not politically correct some of the things I said.
No, Jesse.
It's all New Testament theology.
Yeah, you know, it's in the Bible. It's in the book. Hey, Jess, I want to bring Bishop Sheen into the room. Yep, on that locomotive train. And, Jesse, I want to honor our military because we just had Memorial Day yesterday. And this is a quote from Bishop Sheen about the Bible. But he also talks about soldiers. He said, the greatest tribute that can be paid to a soldier is to recall that they are always well spoken of in the Scriptures. How many people say that, Jess? I've heard you say it, Jess. Great soldiers are praised, such as Joshua, David, and Gideon in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, whenever an individual soldier is mentioned, he is the object of veneration and respect. Four Roman soldiers who are mentioned in the New Testament are men of great integrity. So I want to honor our men and women in the uniform, and not just the military, but I'd also mention the police, the fire department. All these people are putting their lives on the line for serving people. So I just want to acknowledge that today, the day after Memorial Day. Jesse, when we come back, we're going to cover some interesting topics with the Trump administration demanding states let churches reopen. But I'm also going to mention a good news story. And I'll just say it real quick. President Trump wants not only our churches open, but he also did something that his administration asked the UN to remove abortion funding from the coronavirus plan. Remember yesterday, Friday, I said that the unborn have a friend in the White House? This is consistent, Jesse. It seems every week I'm hearing something from his administration to stand up for the unborn. And I just want to acknowledge that because the election's coming up soon. And I think we have to vote with our faith, not with our pocketbooks. Your thoughts, Jess?
Yeah, as Catholics, you have to ask yourself, maybe my family tradition was wrong the way they voted.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks be to God, because now we have more information than people had in the 60s and 70s. Our parents didn't know. Our grandparents didn't know. They just had limited information. Now, Terry, we have websites like priestsforlife.org that put side by side
the platforms,
both party platform.
That's right.
So now you can actually read, okay, what do the Democrats believe about abortion? What do the Republicans believe about abortion? What do the Democrats believe about marriage? What do the Republicans believe? You can read it for yourself. Ignorance is no longer an excuse right now in 2020.
Well said. When we come back, we'll talk more about what President Trump's saying. I want to get the churches opened. He realizes how important prayer, the churches are in America. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
man, you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I love it.
Out there.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I wish a bishop, or maybe the Holy Father, would have said this, but no, it was the Protestant president of the United States, Donald Trump, who isn't exactly known for in his past as being a spiritual warrior for Christ. President Trump demands, get this.
Yeah.
This is the last person I would have expected on planet Earth to be fighting for our religious liberty as Catholics, which is the theme of one of the Vatican documents that, you know, a lot of people talk about. He says that the churches need to be reopened, and he goes, if they don't do it, the governors, I will override the governors. The people are demanding to go to church and synagogue or to go to their mosque, and many millions of Americans, President Trump said, embrace worship as an essential part of life. In fact, I just read last week also, Terry, that 500 doctors.
I read that. Yep, Friday.
They wrote
to the president.
wrote to the WHO, mm-hmm. World Health Organization, and the CDC, and told them that church is an essential thing for human beings as a result of all the secondary things that are happening because houses of worship are closed. President Trump declared houses of worship essential places that provide essential services, saying they should be opened up right away, and governors who get in the way will have to answer to them. It breaks my heart, Terry, that the successors of the apostles they're the ones that know about the real presence of Jesus Christ, about the once and for all sacrifice of Calvary made present at the Mass, about sanctifying grace by which no man will be saved apart from sanctifying grace. They know this. This is the pearl of great price. This is that great treasure that the Bible speaks about, the Catholic gospel. And President Trump wants all religions to open up, of course, including Catholicism. We hear silence from a lot of our bishops still at this point, Terry.
Well, you know, Jesse, common sense ain't that common. The psychiatrist wrote that 86% more prescriptions for psychotropic drugs, including antidepressants, during the lockdown months of March and April compared to January and February had been revealed. If people can't get to church, many people are using drugs to drug themselves. Let's be honest. But here's an interesting, very interesting point too, Jesse. So we know drugs are going up, but at doctors at the John Muir Medical Center in Walnut Creek, California, say they've recorded more deaths from suicide than COVID-19. Now, Jesse, I'm just pointing out, this is what we call collateral damage. You know, when we talk about good people getting killed in war because bombs drop near a school or something like that, here's what's happening. We're getting more collateral damage where people are dying and getting sick than the coronavirus. And so when are we going to wake up and say, wait a minute, this approach that we're taking, it's killing more people by implementing this lockdown where people's immune systems are messed up so that they can't stay healthy. And so they're getting sick, and we have all these family problems with divorce. We have more family, violent attacks.
People beating each other up.
Yes.
Because they're all locked up together.
And so when are we going to realize that this collateral damage is far worse than the coronavirus? And that's all I'm wanting to point out, that I think President Trump, his point about opening up churches, can't we understand that when people can have a spiritual life, then they're going to try to live a life centered on Christ. They're not going to be doing the drugs as much. Now, I'm not saying all people who go to church don't do drugs, Jess. What I'm saying, though, is when people turn their life to God, it's a healthier culture and a healthier system set up here in America and around the world. So the very fact that our churches were closed, I think, actually enhanced the deaths. I'm sorry to say this, Jess. I'm saying it right on the air. Many people died because of that bad decision.
Yeah, Terry, and the fact is, people of faith, I mean, there's studies that show that people of faith use less drugs.
That's right.
Less alcohol.
That's a fact.
Less psychotropic medication.
Yep.
You know, than people that don't have faith. And what's sad is that some of these governors, Terry, they say that liquor stores and abortion clinics
and strip clubs.
And say strip clubs.
I know, terrible.
Gentlemen there. And President Trump says, I'm correcting this injustice.
Thank you, Mr. Trump.
And calling houses of worship essential.
Awesome.
The people are demanding to go to church, synagogue, mosque. Many millions of Americans embrace worship as an essential part of life. I also heard him say yesterday on the news, he says, we need more prayer in America, not less prayer. And many people of faith are complaining about this draconian, which means a strict disciplinary, coronavirus lockdowns. that they unfairly target churches and pastors who have had parking lot services where parishioners stay in their cars.
Yeah.
They've actually been fined by law enforcement.
Terrible.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
And one California county banned singing during live stream church services.
Unbelievable.
Banned singing.
Yeah.
And when the Knoxville, Tennessee government began to allow people to go to church again, it told the churches the physical taking of the communion sacrament should not be performed due to the serial breaking of physical distancing across the congregation. And the Maryland government, Larry Logan, banned Catholic priests from going within 6 feet of their parishioners.
That was pitiful. I couldn't believe that.
This is absolutely nuts. I'm saying, what world do we live in?
Yeah.
I mean, the inmates are running the asylum, except for President Trump.
Yeah.
And, Terry, it's good to see that the Protestants are pushing back, especially in your state.
I respect them tremendously.
Man, you know what? I may disagree with their doctrine, but boy, oh boy, they got
zeal.
More courage. They got more apostolic zeal than many of our Catholic leaders, because the Protestant churches have responded to the coronavirus panic and the subsequent shutdowns with parking lot services, while every single Catholic diocese in the U.S. canceled public masses, and some even banned the last rites. And dioceses around the country, thankfully, they're slowly beginning here in Arizona. It's been kind of normal for the last 2 or 3 weeks to open their churches back up, although Holy Communion and other sacraments remain inaccessible to millions of American Catholics. Terry, that's the heart and soul of why we live, is the Eucharist. This is not an it. It's God. It's Him. It's Jesus Christ in His sacramental appearance. And this is a hill I think Catholics should be willing to die on.
Absolutely.
Literally, man, I could just see Catholics just screaming in their soul, "Give me Jesus! That's all we want."
Yep.
And the Catholic bishops of Minnesota, along with the Lutheran leaders, they announced this week that they're going to resume worship services on May 26th. That was today. And Governor Walz, his current COVID-19 executive order, which allows retailers to operate at 50% capacity, but it caps church services at 10 people. That makes no sense. And in California, again, it's good to see the Protestants, or hundreds of pastors are planning to defy Governor Gavin Newsom, his ban on religious gatherings on May 31st. So they're all ramping up for this weekend, Terry.
Well, I have to say that I've been disappointed with our successors of the apostles here in California. I'll be honest with you, what they're just kind of acquiescing to our governor. But there are bishops who are speaking out and, you know, using common sense, but also directing us to a supernatural aspect of the faith. And one of them is Bishop Athanasius Schneider and Cardinal Mueller and Cardinal Seurat. And what I'd like to do before we get into this article about Bishop Schneider, whose talk that was given in Rome, he was very critical about the bishops. But listen, before we get into the article, what Cardinal Mueller had to say to Raymond Royal on last week's EWTN show, and it'll get you to see that Cardinal Seurat and Mueller are basically saying we're forgetting the supernatural. But let's play that clip, Mr. Engineer.
Your Eminence, Cardinal Robert Seurat, the prefect of the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, weighed in on the coronavirus pandemic this week in an op-ed. He wrote this: "The Church has committed herself to the struggles for a better world. She has been right to support ecology, peace, dialogue, solidarity, and the equitable distribution of wealth. All these struggles are just, but they could make us forget the words of Jesus. My kingdom is not of this world. COVID-19 laid bare an insidious disease that's eating away at the church. She thought that she was of this world. The church must change. She must stop being afraid of causing shock and of going against the tide." Your thoughts on that, Your Eminence? Has the church become too worldly or forgotten its mission in the name of all of these social justice, if you will, initiatives?
We are cooperating with secular institutions for social justice and peace and ecology. But our main mission is to preach the kingdom of God, the deep values and the love to God and to the neighbor, to the next, and to celebrate the sacraments, to give the grace and to give consolation and to give hope And it is clear a human being is not living by bread alone, but also by the word is coming from God. And who want to forbid the church to do their work and to complete their mission, to preach the gospel and to come together?
Well, Jesse, that's these guys have common sense. These cardinals are calling out the church to say, don't be afraid. You know, I think that's what's going on, Jesse, in our culture right now, all the way to the bishops. They're afraid that people might die. But you know what, Jess? Last time I looked, nobody gets out alive. And it seems to me that the role of our bishops, our priests, and all of us is to introduce people to the person of Jesus Christ and show them the way of salvation. And you know what, Jess? I'm tired of having the clergy telling me to wash my hands. I have doctors who do that. I want them to stay focused on what they are ordained to do, and that is to help us get to heaven. Okay, I said it.
And Terry, at this point, every Catholic, once again, should be implementing some of the things that we've been talking about, making a spiritual communion with Jesus every single day. You have to work on your relationship with Christ right now more than ever.
Big time.
Immersing yourself in reading the Bible every day. Read about Jesus. Immerse. Get to know who he is. Talk to him. Love him. Meditate upon him. How do you meditate upon him? The rosary.
Amen.
Meditate upon Jesus in the rosary. Right now, we have to really work on our own interior life. And at night before you go to bed, again, once again, make an act of contrition. Examine your conscience. Ask Jesus Christ to give you the grace to make a perfect act of contrition. And just tell him that you're sorry and just unite yourself with him. Because right now, as the Bible says, when the shepherds are struck, the sheep will scatter.
Exactly.
Right now, the shepherds are amongst themselves arguing about what is right, about what is wrong, about what is essential, about what is non-essential, about what is preeminent, about what is not preeminent. Thanks be to God that we have the perennial teachings of the church.
Exactly.
That's what I said.
Say it again.
But Catholics have believed always, everywhere, and by all people.
That's right.
And we need to study the perennial teachings of the church. And we need to just, again, use this time to really augment your prayer life, to draw closer to God. Because the most important thing when you die is your interiority, your interior life. Guess what? The Pope can't give you an interior life, or your bishop or your pastor. Your interior life has to be cultivated by you through an act of the will, by embracing everything the Catholic Church teaches.
When we come back, Bishop Schneider, he's going to point out that bishops who ban the sacraments during the pandemic behave as, are you ready for this? I'll tell you when we come back. You aren't going to believe what he said.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR
this
to support the network.
Barber. I want to thank you
protect
for your support here
and your family from
radio.
The imminent
Here's
threat.
An easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 9.
Most powerful radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Rated PG, praise God. Bishop Schneider.
Oh, my gosh.
The Lions of the Faith.
Yes. Powerful.
He's actually said, Terry, he's actually said.
Calling him out.
He's criticized his brother Bishop.
Yes.
Who banned the sacraments during the pandemic. He says they behaved as, here's the word, fake shepherds.
I told you had to come back for that because that's strong language, Jesse.
Yep. He says he criticized his brother Bishops. Who not only did not care, but directly prohibited the faithful access to the sacraments, especially to the Most Holy Eucharist and the Sacrament of Penance. Bishop Athanasius Snyder, the gloves are off, Terry.
Oh, absolutely.
The gloves are absolutely off. This guy, obviously, this bishop has no fear of any repercussions. He figures, you know what? Prepare a jail cell for me, a Vatican jail cell. I'm not going to keep my mouth shut. Very strong language. He says the unbelievable fact was that in the midst of this worldwide ban of the public holy mass, many bishops, even before the government banned public worship, issued decrees by which they not only forbade the public celebration of holy mass, but of any other sacrament as well. Bishop Snyder said in a talk given at the virtual Rome Life Forum, hosted by the Voice of the Family, he said, bishops who not only did not care, but directly prohibited their faithful access to the sacraments, he says, behaved themselves as fake shepherds, who seek their own advantage. And Bishop Snyder's talk was entitled The Eucharist, the Greatest Treasure of the Church in Times of Tribulations. And he's the auxiliary bishop of Astana, Kazakhstan.
That's right.
And that was contrasted with the approach of many bishops to the coronavirus with the heroic pastoral care provided in past health crises by Catholic priests, such as St. Charles Borromeo. St. Charles Borromeo, pray for us.
Amen. And Jesse, just we're going to continue. This article is very long, so I want people to go to our website and get the article from LifeSite because it is very, very good. And as a matter of fact, after this show, my wife and I are going to Bible with the Barbers, and we're going to point out what the Bible's response to a pandemic has been. What does the Bible tell us we should do? So that's up at the end of this show. Continue, Jesse. This article is just really filled with lots of common sense.
Yeah, Bishop Snyder said that the almost worldwide ban on the public celebration of Holy Mass had made it seem as though the ruthless historical persecutions of the church were brought back and that there had developed an atmosphere of the catacombs with priests celebrating Holy Mass in secrecy with a group of the faithful. And he's right, because I know that's happening all over the country.
Big time.
Bishop Snyder contrasted the response of bishops today with the many moving heroic examples from history where priests conscientiously accepted the mortal danger of administering the sacraments to people infected with the lethal contagious diseases. And he goes specifically talking about the time of the plague, which had an incomparably high mortality rate.
That's right.
As the COVID-19, St. Charles Borromeo increased the number of the public celebrations of Holy Mass. What else did he do? And even though St. Charles Borromeo closed the churches for a while, he at the same time ordered that there should be Masses celebrated in many public and open places, such as squares, crossroads, street corners. He obliged the priests to visit the sick and dying to administer them the sacraments of penance and of extreme unction. He ordered public processions to be held, in which people walked in due distance to make reparation for the sins and invoke divine mercy. St. Charles Borromeo did not forget the care for the body of the infected people, but at the same time, his primary concern was the spiritual help of the sacraments with which the sick had to be strengthened. And Bishop Schneider's also called on Pope Francis.
He has.
And bishops around the world to understand the public cessation of Holy Mass.
That's right.
And sacramental Holy Communion during the COVID-19 epidemic as a divine rebuke for the liturgical crisis.
Strong language.
The church for the past 50 years. Terry, every time I read this guy, I'm saying, wow.
Yeah, he's a prophet.
I disagree with it. This guy just has, not only is he well-formed, he got common sense, he leans on tradition, leans on scripture. I find everything he says, Terry, absolutely spot on.
Well, Jesse, he also talks about communion in the hand over the past 50 years has led to an unintentional and intentional desecration of the Holy Eucharist, the body, blood, an unprecedented scale. Jesse, just the facts. Is that statement supported by the facts? Of course it is, Jesse. We know that Satanists have been stealing hosts. We see it in our churches. We see people that act like they're going up to McDonald's to receive a Holy Communion, like they're getting a burger from Fry's. Holy Communion, definitely, let's just be honest, when only, they say 50% of the Catholics believe. My experience at 40 years has been about 90% of the Catholics don't believe what really the church teaches about the substance of the bread being the body, blood of Christ, that it changes its substance. The Catholics don't even know that. Here's my point. Everything this bishop is saying, it's very uncomfortable. He's actually, Jesse, calling out in a very respectful way to the Holy Father to issue concrete liturgical norms. I would love to see all this, Jess, in order to address the irreverence of the Holy Eucharist, including making ad orientem, which means facing Jesus. In other words, the face, the back of the priest is facing you, and he's leading you in prayer. In other words, what the church has done for a long, long time. And he said also forbidding the reception of communion in the hand. Now, right now, I understand people can receive on the tongue or in the hand, but I think that the experiment has happened for 50 years, Jesse. And we can say without a doubt, it's been a tremendous failure.
Terry, something very sad. If you look at the document, again, this is the de-Eucharistization of our church.
Absolutely.
If you look at the document, the encyclical Laudato Si, if you look at that document, it says, and I'm looking at it right now, it calls the Holy Eucharist a fragment of matter.
Oh, my gosh.
Pope Francis characterizes the Holy Eucharist, which is, we know is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, as a fragment of matter in Laudato Si.
That's sick. That's really sick.
Again, Terry, we people have just lost their understanding of the most basic, cardinal, essential teachings of the Catholic Church. God became a man. God now becomes our sacred meal. And Bishop Schneider says something very interesting that I found here. He said, this event of this close down, this pandemic, he says, it's come almost 50 years, Terry.
Yeah.
Almost 50 years.
Right.
After basically the practice of Holy Communion was changed.
Mm-hmm.
He says, this event has come almost 50 years after the introduction of communion in the hand in 1969.
That's right.
And a radical reform of the rite of the Mass in 1969-1970. With its Protestantizing elements and its horizontal and instructional style of celebration, the freestyle movements, the celebration in a closed circle and towards the people, the praxis of communion in the hand over the past 50 years has led to an unintentional and intentional desecration of the Eucharistic body of Christ on an unprecedented scale. And he says, the current cessation of the public Holy Mass and Holy Communion could be understood by the Pope and the bishops as a divine rebuke for the past 50 years of Eucharistic desecrations and trivializations, and at the same time, as a merciful appeal for an authentic Eucharistic conversion of the entire church. And he's also called on Pope Francis to issue concrete liturgical norms.
That's right.
In order to address the irreverence of the Holy Eucharist, including making ad orientem celebration of the Eucharistic prayer compulsory and forbidding the reception of communion in the hand. Terry?
Jesse, he says we're witnessing a unique situation. You know how we look at history, Jess? Well, this is the first time in the history of the Catholic Church that the public celebration of the Eucharistic sacrifice has been prohibited almost on a worldwide scale. Under the pretext of a COVID-19 epidemic, the inalienable rights of Christians to public celebration of Mass has been infringed disproportionately and unjustifiably, like we said earlier in the show. In many countries, especially, Jesse, in predominantly Catholic countries, the prohibition was enforced in such a systematic, brutal way that it seemed, though rootless, historical persecutions of the church were brought back. Jesse, let me just give you an example. In Ohio, okay, I know this for a fact, the state actually said, you guys can have church, but the bishops of that state said, no, we're not going to have church yet. We think that it might hurt the health of our parishioners, even though the state said it was okay. Now, Jess, I don't get that, okay? I go to myself, I say, wait a minute, bishops, your job is not for my health reasons. I don't, you know, I'm looking to
I'll
get
take
to
care
heaven.
Of my own health. Thank
yes,
you.
Thank you, bishops. Preach the gospel, which is not a healthy gospel. The gospel is to get to heaven and to live a life centered on Christ. So the amount of air that's being put out, we call it, you know, speaking on the faith, is not going on the faith. It's talking about my health. And I'm just asking with all humility, I agree with Bishop Athanasius. Let's get back to the fundamental teachings of the church. And you know what, Jess, what's also in there? It's interesting that the timing, he said 50 years, but think about also the Pachamama situation. God's not going to be mocked forever. Bishop Athanasius is making also saying that we need to make reparation. I think he says in this that we also need to reconsecrate St. Peter's Square. Now, I thought of that myself, but I'm not a bishop. But it's refreshing to hear a bishop say the emperor has no clothes on. We've got to clean our act up. So I'm happy about this.
Well, Terry, that's when you look at canon law, and I've looked at it.
Yeah.
When a church is desecrated.
Well, it's part of what you got to do.
Satanism.
Yes.
Blasphemy.
That's right.
Some type of irreverence. It has to be reconsecrated.
You got it.
And here's what actually happened. This Pachamama earth goddess, this Pachamama goddess that was brought, it was brought into the Vatican Gardens. Then it was brought into St. Peter's Basilica.
Terrible.
Then you had priests prostrate like Moses before the burning bush in front of the Pope, Terry.
Yeah.
And they're on their face worshiping the idol of Pachamama. Then you had the Italian bishops compose a prayer to Pachamama on their website. Hmm. And then you also look at pictures. There was two Catholic bishops carried the idol of the Pachamama on their shoulders in procession from the Basilica to the Synod Hall.
That's offensive.
And Pope Francis saw all of this and effectively participated in all these actions.
I wish it wasn't true. I wish it wasn't true, Terry.
I'm pinching myself.
I know.
Wake up.
Hey, I want to remind everybody, Steve Ray's going to be on Friday with us, but he's also going to have his virtual pilgrimage to the Holy Land on the 20th of June. Jess Romero will have the men's conference on June 13th with Ruben Nava and Tim Gordon. You can get more information on our website to join us. We'll be back with much more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to his church, to aid and defend her.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871. Because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Blue Collar Catholic Radio.
You got it.
Moving on to the next topic. Terry, there's so many people from California that are texting me. They're just, they're hurting, Terry.
Of course we are.
You got this. And here's what's making it worse is some Catholics on social media in some of these protests, they're like yelling at other Catholics, put on your mask. Put on your mask. You're going to get us sick. Stand 6 feet away from me. So even a lot of good Catholics that want the churches to open up the masses and are starting to involve themselves in protests, they've also drunk the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
They're acting, Terry, very cowardly.
Yeah. I just got grip word, Jesse, that the Orange Diocese, which is next to Los Angeles, their Bishop Van came out and made the comment. I got it confirmed by a deacon here that the churches are opening June 13th and 14th. And I'm waiting for the Anglican Ordinariates Bishop to come up with an answer for that. But you're right. We in Southern California, Jesse, we are at our ends because we just don't see that if we can go to grocery stores and liquor stores, why can't we go to church? And we just don't see a reasonable answer to that to keep our churches closed.
Terry, what's sad is, here's what's sad.
Tell me.
If our leadership actually believed in the word of God, and I question some of them at this point, they've lost their supernatural faith because they're acting like cowards. What's the definition of a coward? Definition of a coward is somebody who's not willing to face adversity. They cower down to adversity. Right now is a time when we need leadership.
Yep.
And is being a coward, is it a sin? Is somebody say, well, just, you know, you don't know how it is being a bishop and, you know, you got to go against the governors and, you know, you got to go against the World Health Organization and the CDC. You know what? What the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8? Here's what it says. Revelation 21, verse 8. It says, but the cowards, and names murderers, fornicators, shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, but will be thrown into the lake of fire. Cowards. Cowards is, being a coward is a mortal sin. And if you as a leader, as a Catholic leader, with full knowledge and deliberate consent, you're acting cowardly, that's a mortal sin. Revelation 21, verse 8 says, cowards go to hell. That's what it says. We're supposed to put our trust in Jesus. That's the message of the Bible, the message of the Catholic faith. You know, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, the Bible says, Jesus says, don't worry about, you know, those that can kill the body. Worry, only fear God who can kill the soul. Well, we can insert, Jesus would say, if he was here right now, our Lord, he'd say, don't worry about coronavirus or cancer or the Spanish flu or the German measles. Don't worry about those things. It only kills the body. Only fear the Father who can kill the soul. That's what Jesus Christ would be saying right now. And again, I just pull my what little hair I got left. I say, Catholics, don't you realize that we only have a certain amount of days on planet Earth? People are saying, oh no, I'm going to die. If you get near me, put on a mask. No, the Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 16, and Job chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, that everybody's days are numbered.
You got it.
When God says, Jess, you're going to drop dead, I don't care if I'm going to Planet Fitness or walking 5 miles a day or doing 200 push-ups a day and eating greens and being a vegan. It doesn't matter what I do. When God said, your time is up, your heart's going to stop pumping, it's over for me. We can't extend our time on planet Earth 1 minute beyond what God allows.
I'll just back that up, Jesse. Remember, the Bible says those who wish to save their life will lose it. Those who choose to lose their life for my sake will find it. And Jess, this has been implemented for 2,000 years in the Catholic Church. I have to ask myself, we're all called to be saints. Look at what the saints have done when you have pandemics, you know, in the past. I mean, I love the Sisters of Mercy worked in the clergy of St. Peter Plymouth and another epidemic where it was in the late 1840s and petitioned the parish priest, Father George Rundle Payne, for a celebration of the Eucharist each morning to strengthen them for their work. So began the first daily mass in the Church of England since the Reformation. Jesse, the Irish people, when they were going through their potato famine, Monsignor was just sharing that at mass this morning. Sorry about that, Jess. I can't say that. My point is this. He's pointed out that what we have here is we have clergy who would risk their mortal lives to teach people and save people with the sacraments. I think we actually need that zeal that we had before to come into the church, because I think we've lost that zeal where we say saving a soul is always more important than saving a life. And I'm just saying it, Jess. We have guys that are so zealous that they would go into hospitals and anoint people. Look at what happened with St. Charles Borromeo in the 1500s. They had more public masses outside. And let's face it, many times in the past, they didn't have modern technology for medical. People were dying, like 60, 70% of the people who got it would die. Right now, it's a couple percent.
Oh, the numbers
percent.
Are way higher than they are
yes,
now.
Yes, and so it seems to me that we're overreacting on the body. That's my take, Jess.
And the reason why we're overreacting on the body, because we've lost our faith. And number two, because, again, these liberal modernists, they believe in again, just building this perfect society. You know, no viruses, no sicknesses, everybody getting the same amount of money, everybody, egalitarian, no religion is better than another, egalitarianism, everything's, we all basically get the same allotment of by the government. That's what they consider the perfect society. Terry, I'm glad the Department of Justice has jumped in, because the DOJ has warned the
California Church voters
that they may be violating the religious freedoms in a letter to Gavin Newsom,
Absolutely.
The governor of California.
Yep.
So the Federal Justice Department Civil Rights Division has sent him a letter, and they're watching his move, and they're telling him that what he's doing, he's placing an unfair burden on the people of California. He's violating their civil rights protections,
yeah.
unequal treatment of faith communities. And so it's good to see that common sense is coming from the federal government. And obviously this is because President Trump is there.
Jesse,
if President Obama was there, Terry, yeah. trust me, there would be silence on this topic.
Let me give you an analogy.
They wouldn't be bucking for religious
Absolutely.
Liberty for Catholics.
Jesse, let's get this down to an analogy that everybody can understand. You got a school bully at school, okay? And the school
that's what Newsom is.
Exactly. I'm going with my analogy. And this bully is telling you can't come on this part of the school grounds because I'm not letting you go there. And then you have your brother, okay, your big brother who you know is going to defend you. Jesse, you got big brothers. Yeah. But unfortunately, this time your big brother doesn't defend you. You thought your brother would. And some guy who you don't even know comes over and says, hey, get out of the way. Come on, you can do it. Because you know what? I'm going to stop him because I got the authority to do it. And he lets you go. And now the bully can't do a darn thing. Well, Jesse, that's President Trump. He didn't even know me, and he stood up and he said, no, your bully, your governor is stopping you from going to church. I'm going to stop him because I've got more authority than he does. And that's what you do to bullies, Jesse. If I'm wrong, correct me, brother.
No, you're spot on, Terry. That's exactly Simple. What you do. And again, this guy, Terry, he was the last guy I was going to vote for when I looked at the people that were running on the RNC side.
Yeah.
And he's surprised me more than any other person, because he's the last person I expected to defend Catholics. And one of the things that he's been open about one of the threats that we have as Catholics and even Protestants is it's called the Johnson Amendment. It's a small
1954.
It's a bill that was inserted into the IRS tax code
way
by
back.
The Democrats,
yep.
by Lyndon B. Johnson, a Democrat.
Yep.
And what it does, it stifles, it stops nonprofits, that is churches, it stops us from talking about politics or candidates. And they basically want to just mute our voice, hit the mute button.
Yeah.
Well, President Trump, he's been very clear about this. He says nobody will be prosecuted by way of the Johnson Amendment under my administration.
That's
Catholics speak up. Protestants speak up. He wants Muslims, Jews, people of faith. You got an opinion? We want to hear. Speak up. Weigh in on the public square and in the public debate. And so, again, that shows the fact that here we've got a friend of the Catholic faith. You will not get penalized by the IRS for making for political speak as a Catholic right now, even from a nonprofit standpoint.
I think that's awesome. And Jesse, I just want to mention at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that the Trump administration was asking the UN to remove abortion funding from the coronavirus plan. Every time the unborn are going to be attacked, it seems like President Trump is standing up and saying, I'm going to be the big brother here. I am going to protect you from being killed through abortion. I'm going to put in whatever I can to stop that. And Jesse, my analogy, I just want to make sure everybody understood. I look at my brother as my bishops and my priests for standing up for me. And because they're not standing up for my religious freedom and a stranger is coming to my rescue, which is the administration and the Trump administration, it's hard for me to have to say that. But that analogy came to my mind because I feel like I've been like the sheep are being scattered because the shepherds aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's mandated not by Jesse Romero or Terry Barber, but by Jesus Christ himself about what he gives to his church to go and sanctify the world through the sacraments and through its teachings, not to give me good health. I'm sorry, I said it.
Terry, and again, this is why, again, the fourth commandment talks about our civic responsibility to vote property,
yeah,
like Catholics, not like pagans.
Right.
Because when you do good, put good people in office that have common sense and are people of faith, they will use their governmental arm to defend your rights. There's even a lot of good cops, Terry, that are on YouTube that are posting. They're telling other cops, defy your governor's order. Don't arrest anybody that's going to churches. Don't arrest anybody that's praying in a church. So there's a lot of cops that are posting, and they're telling cops, no, the governors are asking us as policemen to violate people's constitutional rights.
It's an unjust law.
And these are unjust laws, which we as police officers cannot follow. So again, this is why it's important as for people of faith not to hide in a cave.
That's right.
To get out there and get involved in these jobs in positions of influence and power because, these are our brothers, Catholic or Protestant brothers, that are basically in the trenches working under Caesar's house that are trying to fight for our rights, Terry, from within the house.
Absolutely. And up next, we're going to have the Bible with the Barbers. We're going to cover the pandemic from a biblical perspective. Jesse Romero, I've got another question for you, brother. You can't run without answering this. What state should we be living in, brother?
Of all the 50 states, I would have to say I would choose a state of grace.
Amen,
over
brother.
Any state.
You got it.
And what state don't you want to live in? Well, of all the 50 states, I would definitely say the state of mortal sin
is
the one you
got
to cross off your map.
You got it. Remember, life is short. Eternity is forever. We're in for a short time. Think about what you do right now is going to affect your eternal salvation of your soul. Live in the presence of God moment by moment. Stay faithful to Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And again, up next, the Bible with the Barbers. I got another hour with my wife. We're going to talk about the pandemic and the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about it? God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.